Getting a FTN t-shirt is the only way to guarantee other people will know you are cool.
Listen up, Umi. This is a podcast with the most ducker. This is Forge the Narrative.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to a very special episode of Forge the Narrative. My name is Paul, your host. We're on the Bell Lost Souls podcast. I'm joined by Red Powell.
Hello.
Tanya Gates and Adam Camilleri.
Hey, everybody.
Hello. It is a beautiful day for the Hammers of the Emperor.
We are the Born Soldiers, and that's why it's a special episode, because we all play the faction that we get to talk about this episode. Games Workshop very nice enough to send us a copy of the Astra Militarum Codex Cadia Stands box set. You know, let's just go and get out of the way. There's lots different, a whole lot different in this book than maybe what people are used to.
I mean, you say we all play Guard. Okay. But are any of you playing it literally next weekend before the new Codex comes out? I think so.
I am not. So, you know, look, you get one last hurrah. And we can talk about old Gaunt and his ghost, which you'll be happy to know that. Well, tell you what, let me talk about what's different. So this has been on the Warhammer community article, but let me tell you, like, it practically applies is the regimental tactics for, you know, the specific Talaran and Catachan and in the exclusions and that kind of stuff. That's gone away. Now you can kind of mix and match the regiments as you see fit, and the squads have been even kind of further bifurcated out. And so now there is a Cadian shock troop squad, a regular infantry squad, and then Catachan infantry squad. You know, that's Derkor Krieg.
Yeah,
is in here. You know, there's Catachan jungle fighters, but there is a catch-all. There is a catch-all squad, which is just an infantry squad, and it's not the Cadian shock troops. Just an infantry squad. And each one of these troops that we've talked about, or each one of these choices that we talked about, has different war gear options that are more in line with, you know, what you'd see on the sprues, you know, maybe what you might classically know about those, the way that those units fight.
Yeah, I feel like this is a, you know, cuts both ways. On one level, I love that we have more bespoke, you know, unique, fluffy options in the data sheets. I think the data sheets themselves for Guard are unique, which is something that they really haven't had before. It's usually, here is your one veteran squad, here is your one infantry squad, make of it what you will. It's never going to be that different. It's just, which weapons did you choose to take and how'd you paint them? And so I love that we have those kind of some nuance there, some bits and pieces we can change around. What I don't love, and I'm just going to get this out of the way straight up, there is no Cadian regiment, there is no Catachan, there's no, like we've seen for most of the 9th edition codexes, this might herald the future for us. This might just be a peek into some new design philosophies that, you know, Games Workshop might be trialing out, but that's me doing their thinking for them, and I certainly have no inside information. There is no way for me to thematically build my army as Cadian without taking the Cadian units. I can't even name them as Cadian because they don't have the regimental, you know, inverted brackets thing to rename the regiment what I want.
Well, I mean, your heart, you can name them whatever you want.
Of course. Here. In every book up to this one, essentially, I would have had a page that had Cadia written on it. It would have had a specific order for Guard. It would have had a relic, a wall of trait, a stratagem. It would have had things to take for me to embody what it is to be Cadia on the battlefield. And so while I feel the data sheets have given us a lot more thematic elements there, it's taken away from, it's been transposed. It's still the same amount of thematics. It's just been transposed from one point to another.
It's going to take some getting used to. I mean, on the initial read, that's one element, but it's a very important element, I think, to a lot of Astra Militarum, you know, / Guard players. You know, people have kind of built their list around certain, you know, aesthetics of the models, you know, maybe some identity kind of thing. There is the regimental doctrines, like you build your own section in here.
Yep.
And so there is a way to kind of inject some of that theme back in there. And, you know, let's just go ahead and talk about it, is that for the detachment abilities, one of the things is born soldiers. And that's what you get as the stock, is that everyone has this ability called their regimental doctrine, born soldiers.
Adore the word used by G-Dub. It couldn't be more indicative about the fact that the Guard is mostly made up of randoms who got forced into it or tithed to the guard from certain planets. Farmers, shopkeepers, grocers, you know, electricians just tithed to the guard. They're not born to be soldiers, but they are, because that's what the Imperium's all about, baby. It's kind of a funny play on words, because they're not born to be soldiers, but they are, because they're part of the Imperium. Everybody's a born soldier in the Imperium. Even little Timmy with the gimpy leg. Ah, you can hold the las gun. Off you go. Charge the Carnifex.
But I feel like Cadian, like the culture of Cadia, they were actually born to be soldiers, most of them. And if you weren't born to be a soldier, then you were born in a support role to support the soldiers. Isn't that the whole idea of Cadia?
Yeah, Cadia specifically. And that's what, I suppose that's what specifically set Cadia apart from other regiments. Like, I mean, was the Valhallan was the penal, mostly had penal legions, etc. in the fluff. And then you had the Praetorians, etc. But they all had their kind of own flavor. And yeah, Cadia was always the one, because they were sat right next to the Eye of Terror. Everyone needed to be a soldier. No exceptions, no ifs, no buts. I loved it. It's great, okay. Amazing fluff.
I'm going to play like the devil's advocate to you here, Adam. And so you said that you like to be able to just like have that keyword Cadia, and it helps you to sort of like get that Cadian immersion in your army or whatever. But if you actually read a lot of the novels and things with Imperial Guard in them, a lot of times it's not just like, it wouldn't just be just Cadians in the fight, right? Like there would be a melange of different regiments all sort of mixed together in the engagement. And I kind of feel personally like these rules are, I think, kind of playing up that aspect of the lore. And I actually really like it, right? Because like, imagine you had like a Cadian commander and you had a Talarn commander in the same engagement. Well, they might both be giving out orders on different sides of the battlefield. I don't know. I kind of like these rules.
Yeah, I definitely get it from that point of view. The kind of, not quite rabble, but the big lumbering beast that is the Imperial Guard, the Astra Militarum, has just people from a unknowable quantity of worlds from bits and pieces. I mean, great story is the Tanith, you know, what percentage of the crusade that's happening in that storyline do the Tanith take up? They're a freaking speck in the arms and the armies being wielded in that storyline. And so, yeah, you're absolutely right. It does represent that really well. I was pretty much talking exclusively from the amount of rules I'm getting in the book, being like, hey, there was a bunch of stuff that everyone else got that it kind of feels like we didn't. We now have it on data sheets. And I don't know if that's better or worse. It's just definitely I noticed
it. It's going to take some getting used to. And the born soldier keyword gives the officers the ability to share the leadership to platoons around them, and then each time a model with this doctrine makes a ranged attack, an unmodified hit roll of 6 automatically wounds. And it goes on to say that, you know, note, if an attack automatically wounds the target as a result of this doctrine, for the purposes of any other rules that are triggered as a particular wound roll, that attack is considered to have been made with an unmodified wound roll of 6, because nothing's ever bad happened with that before.
No. 0% of the time has that come back to bite anybody.
I think in this book it's safe, though.
So far from what I've seen, I think it's way less impactful here than elsewhere. I still think it's very good. I don't think it's going to break the game like it did with, I don't think it's going to be the best thing about the book like it was with Votann, like it was with Assyriani and Hail of Doom. But yeah, this is very strong. In fact, I believe, in my opinion, most often than not, I won't be swapping out from anything. I'm just probably going to play with Born Soldiers.
Yeah,
it's pretty good.
When you're taking that some element of the dice out of the equation, and there are other things in it, again, largely for theme or things you want to choose, or you know, the replayability, flexibility thing of the army, but there is 2 pages of regimental doctrines, and you get to pick 2 attributes to build your force if you don't want to go with the Born Soldiers.
One thing we didn't really say, in October of this year, the Guard book turned 5. It was released in October 2017 and has now been replaced in, the second week of November 2022? Pretty amazing. Pretty amazing, Red, yourself especially, playing a single book for 5 years. Anybody who played Guard for like the majority, I played Guard for like the first 3 years of that book, and I have dropped them off for the last 2 years completely. I haven't touched them. But kudos to anybody who stuck all the distance with that. It's something nobody else has had to do in recent memory, is stick with a book that long.
You and the Jukari. So Reds, like both your armies have had some old codexes.
And Necrons before that, right?
Yeah. I mean, yeah. They know their audience, obviously. The players of these factions just stick fat.
That's right. Look at how long it had been since Berserkers had an update. I mean, I've been riding it out. I mean, that goes back to I've really enjoyed all these armies, regardless of how long it's taken an update to occur one way or the other. It really has been a passion of mine to play them in specific ways. And I won't completely invalidate your opinion, Adam, in regards to the rule set. Like I'm going to use it. Like, what'd you say, Paul? It's just going to take some getting used to. I acknowledge, like, I've got Gaunt's Ghost, and fortunately the way Gaunt's Ghost, I feel maybe that's kind of what has helped bring me into it, because the ghost, I had to use a custom regimen, right, in order to tie them in. In fact, it was almost in the designer's commentary when Gaunt's Ghost came out that they could fit into any of the custom regimens, but it couldn't, I couldn't be like Cadian and then bring in Gaunt's Ghost, otherwise it would invalidate it. And so now I will argue, I'll say I've got a lot more options to a certain degree, and that I can combine these things, I believe, unless I'm mistaken or I'm missing something.
Yeah, you definitely can. And I'll go and we'll talk about that in just a second, because I really want to talk about Ursula Creed and like the Cadian officers and things like right. that, and how it combines with certain rules.
Yeah, yeah. So with that, and that's the great part about it, exactly to what Tanya was saying. And, you know, since you opened the floodgates, Adam, on Gaunt's Ghost, I mean, I'm sitting here looking at these regimental pins that I have. I mean, there were the Volpone Blue Bloods, the Gaunt's Ghost, there's, the Dragoons, there's all these different units that are all throughout the books. And it's never rarely just one regiment fighting by itself in order to harness the entire mass of the Imperial Guard and accomplish anything effective with just normal humans. They needed to bring armies and armies and armies in order to get it done. And so I think it's really cool that you can combine those things. I think Tanya made a really excellent point.
You'll be happy to know that the character keyword on Gaunt's Ghost is limited to just Gaunt.
Not really sure what that does for me, though. Oh, assassination.
No, yeah, I mean, yeah, it doesn't hemorrhage 50,000 points.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, no. Finally. I mean, I just went in there. It was a good handshake. It's like, hey, but to be fair, and there's some people out there that acknowledge, like, I said, yeah, sure, if you kill all my heroes, that's one thing. But Gaunt's Ghost didn't die. In fact, out of all my games, I can only think of a very, very small handful of times where Gaunt's Ghost as a unit was wiped out. That doesn't mean that I totally gave up Assassinate one way or another, but it wasn't as easy as maybe people thought it was going to be.
I think that's cool. I mean, it's probably a change that should have been there to begin with, or a clarification that should have been there to begin with. But, now when you're judging how an army performs, you know, this how they perform in the secondaries is very important, and that's at least not a complete liability going into it in any game if you want to use that faction. Ursula Creed, that's what Castellan Creed's daughter, and she ain't bad. 5 wound character, which is hard to come by a lot of times with Astra Militarum, and some of her abilities, she has the voice of command, which lets her give orders, regimental tactics, which is what you choose, or your born soldiers. Lord Castellan's Fury, each time this model issues an order to a unit until the start of the next command phase, each time a model in that unit makes a ranged attack, add 1 to the strength characteristic of that attack. Note that this ability only affects the original target of the order, not any additional units that are affected by the order using the regimental tactics ability. So, you get to basically spawn out orders, and some of these extra abilities that stack on top of that don't transfer typically. She has a refractor field, tactical genius. While this model's on the battlefield, you can use the command reroll stratagem up to twice per phase instead of only once. The guard are going to be strapped for command points. I don't know how often that's going to come up, but it's nice that you can do it. I'm not aware of another ability that can do that.
Everything that I've seen tells me to believe extra warlord traits and relics might not be the go here. You might just want one, and you might want to save as many as you can for in-game, because there are so many good strats.
Yeah, going to be thirsty. So, senior officer, while friendly Astra Militarum core units within 6 inches of this model, each time that model makes an attack, any attack, reroll hit rolls a 1.
Nice. I feel like rerolls to wound were not really a thing that you got very often in the last book.
Yeah, and it's harder to come by in this stuff too. You do get some pretty good hitting though.
Unless they had spikes. If they had spikes, you messed them right up.
If I was mistaken, bring it down, right? Isn't that an order? If I'm not mistaken, that was reroll 1s to wound.
Yeah, 4 rerolls to wound was pretty hard to come by though. Like,
yep.
The only other place was, I think, the Relic of Loscadia, used to give you out a bubble of reroll once to wound if they weren't chaos.
And the Wyvern.
Ah, yeah, that's true. Yeah. And then there was, what was the one where you pre-game picked an opponent's unit and then your Warlord specifically reroll to wound against them?
Old Grudges?
Hey, Old Grudges. That was a chestnut.
So what you're talking about is earlier was Lord Solar Leonidas. Has the heroic senior officer aura, while friendly Astra Militarum core units with a 6-inch of this model, each time the model the unit makes an attack, reroll hit rolls of 1, and reroll wound roll of 1.
Ooh.
That's the dude on the horse.
Got Morven Vale written all over that guy. Really good, I think.
He does. I'm not sure. I mean, wouldn't he just look a little awkward next to some Catechin? Because that's what I'm running.
I think there is a lot of opportunities to make your own one of him, and I'm here for it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think I'm going to make my own. So all of my infantry, they all have Skitarii heads on them. So I think that I might, what is the horse, the Cerberus something or other, the Mechanicum horse?
Yep.
Yeah, so I think I might try to make one out of that.
I think there may be a Sigmar mechanical type horse too for the, was it the People of Sigmar, yep, or something?
Absolutely, there is. There's an engineer on mechanical steed, which would be perfect.
He does have some stout abilities, by the way. So, has a 4+ invulnerable save, and each time an attack is allocated to this model, have the damage characteristic of that attack. Rounding up, he's 8 wounds.
That's some serious horse flesh right there, just bouncing off damage here, there, and everywhere.
And then his special ability is, you know, after your opponent has revealed their secondaries, you can change yours.
That's
so good.
That's the ticket right there. That's the one that's going to break some brains.
Yeah, anyways, he's kind of a beast.
Absolutely agree. I think might be, I don't want to say auto-include, but I think you're going to want it. If you're going to seriously pick up guard, you're definitely going to want to have the option.
So there's another one. Here's the other little nice thing. He's like a chapter master ability. So the Lord Commander, yep, Solar, in your command phase, you can select one friendly Astra Militarum Corps, Astra Militarum character, or Astra Militarum battle tank unit within 6 inches of this model. Until the start of your next command phase, each time a model in that unit makes an attack, you can reroll the hit roll. If the unit is core, you can also reroll the wound roll. So that's not reroll once, it's reroll everything.
Ooh. Did you hear me say Morven Vale before? There's just so much Vale on this character. It's amazing.
I do dig the character as far as the stats go.
I think it's amazing. I'm really excited to make a conversion. Part of me wanted to change the fluff a little bit and have a dead creed with the banner of Cadia on the horse, and everyone just gets so super pumped and inspired as soon as they see it and go berserk. And yeah, I thought that'd be pretty cool for mine.
I was hoping, crossing my little Astra Militarum fingers, the tank commander would have some different options than Lehman Russ. They do not. So no Rogaldor command tanks.
That's, I was about to say, is that what you were getting at? You wanted to see if you could put one in a Dawn? Yeah. I think that could be too good. Although there is like you said, there is a tank ace to upgrade a Dawn to be an officer, I believe.
So there is. Yeah. So the way to kind of back end to that is pay some extra points. And there is a section here called Tank Aces. And for most of them, all but one of them, you can upgrade battle tank units. And the Rogaldorn is a battle tank unit. It is the Rogaldorn battle tank, Lehman Russ battle tank. It's in the title, also in the keywords. And for most of them, you can upgrade super heavy units, which is important, if you ask me.
Can the Rogaldorn tanks be taken in squadrons?
So I'm going to go to that right now because I think it has the squadron keyword, but it is not. It is just a lot of vehicles have the squadron keyword, but they are just singular purchase things.
So what does the keyword give you?
Some of the orders and stuff affect a squadron, something with a squadron keyword.
It's like the platoon keyword. They give it out pretty judiciously because it's how the orders bubble out. So you can bubble out, you can order a squadron unit and then another squadron unit can get the order as well and stuff like that. So I guess they're just giving it out so Dawns don't miss out on the goodness.
Yeah, but you can only get one of them for the units or for the Force Orc slot. But I think what you're mentioning is the Vaunted Praetorian, which is a 15-point upgrade on battle tanks, 30 points on super heavy units. This is for super heavy or Rogaldorn battle tank models only. The model gains the officer keyword and knows the mechanized orders from page 78. In your command phase, it can issue one order. If this model is a super heavy model, the unit you select of that order can be an Astra Militarum Titanic unit. All other rules for the order issuing order still apply.
Very cool. Although the one after that is, I think, the best one. That one is still very good.
The Meticulous Calibrator is what you're thinking?
The one that ignores cover.
Yeah, it ignores, yeah. Each time a model makes a ranged attack, the target does not receive the benefits of cover against that attack.
You can put that on a super heavy. You can put that on anything. You can put that... As long as you're willing to pay the points, very good buff. And it's not limited to just light cover. It's the effects of cover. So you ignore dents as well. So it can be a +1 to hit.
Oh, yeah, good point. There's a Knight of Piety tank ace. The model gets a 5+ invulnerable save, and each time a model loses a wound as a result of a mortal wound on a 5+, it is not lost.
That doesn't seem too bad either.
Yeah. Master Camouflage. If you're more than 12 inches away, you get light cover. If you're super heavy, it's 18 inches away.
I love the idea that it... even if it is further away for a Baneblade chassis, just the idea that you could be like around the corner from a building-sized tank and be like, what's that over there? Like...
It's a master of camouflage, just not amateur of camouflage.
I know, exactly. I love it so much. It's hilarious.
Mechanical Pack Rat is another one. This is kind of neat. The name kind of threw me off when I first read it, but each time an attack is made against this model, an unmodified wound roll of 1-3 for that attack fails, irrespective of any modifiers to the weapon.
Dude, that's an interesting one. It's cool, and on face value, you're like, oh my god, transhuman. But then you realize just about everything you put in this on is toughness 8 or better, and you think, how often is it actually going to come up? In your meta, got a lot of Castellan Knights and
there's a lot of strength 14 stuff out there.
Yeah, sure, this thing is baller, but for most of the time, it's probably not going to be a thing.
Yeah. So the tank ace is the one that, of course, I'm going to want to try to play with immediately. Is that giving the officer keyword to, you know, a Storm Lord or something?
Yeah.
And I know they mentioned what the turret weapons do, and then we kind of speculated what a coaxial weapon would do in the last episode or the episode before, and it functions as a turret weapon, so you get the +1 hit and can fire, you know, anywhere you want.
Turret weapon might just be my favorite special rule in this thing, because... Sorry.
What's the coax do again? I'm sorry. We just...
It gives it... It has the turret special rule.
Oh, okay. Okay, my bad. Sorry. Okay, yeah. Sorry, Adam. Go ahead. My bad.
Yeah, the turret rule might be my favorite rule, because that, more than anything else, I think plugs the issues that that Guard has inherently had since the 8th edition rule set came into being, that touch a tank, stop a tank, shut it down. As soon as the turret rule... Oh, man. It's just going to be such a game changer for people. You don't need to be afraid of using your tanks to... be in front of your army, and just the idea of putting my Lehman Russes in front of my army feels wrong. It shocks me to think I could want to put them up front ever in any circumstances. I just think I can bully people with them now. Amazing.
Yeah, I like all that. Let's talk about something that's going to be on FAQ Watch, and I say this as a cautionary thing, so in case people want to go all in when they get the opportunity, is the Attilan Rough Riders.
Just let us have our fun.
Gorgeous models. You know, actually, great rules too.
That's it, isn't it?
I think they're 20 points a model. Let me go and check that out right now. Yeah, the Attilan Rough Riders, 20 points a model, can have a squad of 10, 2 attacks apiece, 3 attacks for the sergeant, so 21 attacks. The weapon that they have is the Goad Lance, which is melee, +2 strength. They're strength 4, but taken to strength 6, -3 AP, 2 damage. And if they, on the charge, they're actually 2 more strength. So strength 8, not bad at all. -3, 2 damage. Here's where it gets interesting. Each time an attack is made with this weapon, a successful hit roll scores 1 additional hit. That ain't bad. The next sentence is, each time an attack made with this weapon is allocated to a vehicle model, that model's unit suffers 1 mortal wound in addition to any normal damage. And then there's a period. There's no cap on that. There's no qualifier. There's no nothing. It is, hey, vehicle guy, take mortal wounds.
It's allocated. It's unbelievable. It's allocated. Don't need a roll to hit. Don't need a wound. You just say, I am going to put this many attacks into you, and then you automatically take that many mortal wounds. It's nuts.
Yeah, I mean, it's real strong.
extremely powerful.
And I'm cool with there being good units, by the way. Powerful units are fun to use. You know, they're sometimes fun to play against because when they're on the table, you then start to figure out how to deal with them, you know, in some way, how to manage them. And, you know, when you've got this, what is just a glass cannon, it's how to deliver it, you know, so there's play on both sides of the table.
Does this unit ignore difficult terrain or anything like that?
Sort of, yeah. So the unit can ignore any and all modifiers to its move characteristic, advance rolls, and charge rolls.
Oh, so that's really good. So you can't even really use difficult terrain to like slow them down or anything.
They move 12, so they're not the fastest thing in the world, but they're fast. They're not stupid, you know, Eldar fast, but they're still very fast, especially for Imperium. And yeah, strength 8, minus 3, 2 damage. They only hit on 4s. Oh, sorry, no, they hit on 3s. Apologies, they blistered before. But strength 4, 2 wounds with a 4-up save. They will just die. Like, there's no two ways about it. They will just die, but they very much resemble a Repentia-like unit to me, a unit that you use really well once, and then you're okay if it dies. But it adds such a unique thing to guard now, because it is a deterrent to closing the gap. I don't believe people are going to be taking 30 of these things and pushing them down their opponent's throat, because you'll run into a one screen of Kroot and then they'll all die.
The Goad Lance is limited, though. It's not the whole thing. Yeah. The Hunting Lance is what they have. Is their primary weapon, and it's just additional hits. The Goad Lance is only 1 per 5. So there is a little bit of a cap.
There is that, yeah. There is that. It's not auto killing whatever, but still the Hunting Lance is really good.
Yeah. Hunting Lance, to give it its equal time, each time an attack is made with this weapon profile, a successful hit scores 2 additional hits.
Yeah. And that's their strength +2, -4, 3 damage with... No, that it's arguably better than the mortals in a lot of ways. It's arguably better because it is going to be strength 8 minus 4, 3, whereas the Goad Lance was strength 8 minus 3, 2. So, I mean, there's no arguably. It is better. It just doesn't do the mortal wounds.
Yeah. And then here's the Rough Rider Sergeant figuring out a way to throw his saber away and get this.
Yeah, why the f*** I got this thing?
He can take a saber. It's the Rough Rider Sergeant can be equipped with 1 power saber.
I think this unit is amazing. I think most armies, you should plan to get a couple of boxes of these guard players. Or if you're the OG and you've got some, hold on to them. I'll turn back time to about 2.5-3 years ago when I was still playing guard. I was begging people on this show to sell me their Talan Camel Riders that are hen's teeth and could probably be used as gold bullion at this point.
There you go. You've future-proofed yourself with some apocalypse money. So.
Oh, 100%. Put them in the bunker behind the laser screen. You're good to go.
Yeah, so again, we're just scratching the surface here. We haven't talked about some of the changes. We'll take a quick break. We'll come back and talk about some changes to the Manticores and the Wyverns and Hydras and some other tanks, you know, kind of like signature things from the Astra Militarum. See you in a minute.
FTN is brought to you by Discount Games, Inc. Please visit them at www.discountgamesinc.com. And don't forget to ask Jay about ways to save even more on your hobby projects.
Everybody, we are back. Time to get those las guns slick loaded. Well, and also talk about Manticores. And that's what we said we were going to do. So Manticores have been a mainstay, I think, in most guard armies because of like the full payload and some other things you could bring. Now a little bit different, maybe even better.
Yeah, it's actually up for debate whether they got better or got worse. I think it's a bit of a side grade, but essentially they're one less strength, same rend, but now all of them are full payload. Hey, all of them full payload. Everyone's just damage 3 now.
And let's actually talk about something too, is that we don't know if the data slate that removes the guard from the indirect fire is going to translate into this new world for them.
So yeah, well, big caveat, right? So in the balanced data slate as it sits right now, guard has the best artillery in the game because it was so pivotal to them to maintain and giving them some balance and some power, and that so their artillery doesn't take the minus to ballista skill, and people don't get the extra save against them. In addition, all their tanks essentially have armor of contempt. They get an extra minus to your rend incoming damage. We don't know how much of that's going to stay. We don't know how much that's going to go. It could all, you know, baby with the bathwater, all get thrown out. Some of it could stay, some of it could go. So grain of salt with all this stuff.
Yeah. So what we're talking about is like effectiveness or what's good or what we're looking forward to. We don't know how it's actually going to pan out. So probably just be talking mostly about like the stats on the page. And then
yeah.
Obviously hitting on 5s, a lot worse than hitting on 4s. you know, or whatever else you could do to improve that through your auras and stuff. But the Storm Eagle rockets, 120-inch range, heavy D6 plus 3, strength 9, neg 2 AP, flat 3 damage apiece, blast, can target things that, you know, out of line of sight, and still only 4 shots per game.
Really interesting that they have... So they did the same thing with the Basilisk as well when we get to it. They're both D6 plus 3, so their min amount of shots is 4, which feels so much better. Mm-hmm. Oh my, I'm sure you guys will echo. You've only got 4 shots with the Storm Eagle rockets, and that stayed the same. And just the, you just know one of those shots is going to be like a 2. And they'd be like, yeah, well, this sucks.
If you took the Catechin or the... And you can correct me, I'm sure, on that. But if you took that or Gunnery Experts in the old book, that, I mean, you were able to reroll the number of shots. So I didn't mind. I always picked it up and rerolled it.
Man, and I'm sure you've rolled it into a 1 again, yeah? At least once or twice.
The 1-to-1 club.
Never.
Oh, man. Never. Jeez, never. You are a rare beast.
Armor tracks built into these things, and the bearer with the armor tracks keyword. Each time a ranged attack with a damage characteristic of 1 is allocated to the bearer, add 1 to the armor saving throw made against that attack.
It's pretty pivotal. Like, doing chip damage to guard tanks now with armor tracks is actually a lot harder to do, which I'm a fan of. There was quite a few times, especially in the start of 9th edition and towards the middle of 8th edition, where people just had a godload of bolt guns, and things like Hurricane Bolters in Tactical Doctrine used to just shred my Chimeras all the time. That's going to happen a lot less, which I like.
So, sorry, is that baked in to the actual data sheet, or is that some add-on that you pay extra points for?
No, you pay extra. It's extra war gear. So you're absolutely right. Some do have it baked in as standard, and some have to pay for it.
The Mana Core has to pay 5 points for that.
Otto, when are you ever not going to do that?
100%. Basically. How do you guys feel about the... So there's no chance to get 12 shots anymore, but the average stays about the same on the D6 plus 3. Like, you're going to average somewhere between, you know, 6 or 7 is the norm for how many shots you're going to get. Are you guys okay with, like, the median staying about the same, but the floor's way up, ceiling's way down?
Yeah, I'm okay with it.
I think there are probably better ways to buff the hit roll also, so that will kind of make your average damage you do go up, because it's now 3 and you're going to hit more often.
That's fair.
Maybe.
Well, we know that you can use Sentinels and Vox casters via stratagem to make your artillery hit better, correct?
Yes. Let me go to that.
I think that's the expert bombardiers or something.
That's right. I think it's actually a regimental thing, right?
It is, yeah.
Oh, spicy.
The expert bombardiers is, if each time an artillery model with this doctrine makes a ranged attack, the target of the attack is within 12 inches, invisible to the friendly Voxcaster or Sentinel unit, add 1 to the attack's hit roll. So you got to be kind of close and personal.
Very nice. Very nice.
Yeah, but you could send a Sentinel out around a corner to get one.
That's their job, right? Yeah, get it up there.
Yeah.
Indeed.
Well, there's a stratagem I might bring us to, because there's a stratagem for Sentinels to essentially fire and fade. So you get to... scout move your Sentinel 9 inches, move your Sentinel, shoot your Sentinel, move your Sentinel, and then go about getting all your buffs and debuffs and stuff. So really flexible.
Yeah, I don't know that we'll have time to get to all the stratagems, because there's some good ones in here. When we say that you're going to be thirsty for command points, I do not believe that is a lie. You might even want to take the relics that, you know, help you get command points faster, which there's also a couple pages of relics. Like 3 pages of Astra Militarum relics.
Okay, but like, are they useful? Because I feel like the relics in the last book were not great.
I do think so. So there's one things like the tactical auto reliquary of Tiberius. Officer model only, in your command phase, the bearer can issue in 1 additional order that it knows.
Okay, I like it.
Kurov's Aquila. Once per battle, after your opponent uses a stratagem, the bearer can use this relic. If it does so until the end of the battle, the command point cost your opponent must pay to use the stratagem, again, is increased by 1.
Ooh, I like that one.
Excluding the command reroll one.
I like it. I like it. Transhuman? No, I don't think so.
No, the Relic of Lost Cadia. You knew it was a Cadian model only. Once per battle in the command phase, you can do this. While a friendly Cadian infantry unit is within 6 inches of the model, improve the weapon skill and ballistic skill, the characteristics of the model in that unit by 1, and add 1 to the attack and leadership characteristic models of that unit. Ain't bad. The Null Coat. This is a good one. In your opponent's psychic phase, the bearer can attempt to deny one psychic power as if it were a psyker, and then add one to the Deny the Witch test if taken for the bearer. The reason I like this is because of all the psychic secondaries that are out there that people are taking.
Sorry, the range is just the normal, like, Deny the Witch range?
Yeah, normal Deny the Witch range, but you know, you're not a psyker, so you're not getting rid of your ability to take a War of the Witch, and you can get rid of somebody's, you know, rituals that they're trying to do or interrogation.
I like it. The plus one is nice, too. It makes it so it'll be a little bit more reliable. It
changes the math for a lot of people and what they're, you know, what they feel like they can get a safe cast on. You know, again, we're jumping around, but there's a bunch of good relics, a bunch of good stratagems. We are talking about the artillery. It was a mana core. Wyvern's on the next page. Let's talk about it. Wyvern, strength 5, neg 1 AP now, blast, does not reroll the wound anymore. It's not have the shred or whatever it used to be called.
This is an interesting change, and I have no idea if this is... I mean, it's obviously better versus some, worse versus others, but I mean, I think a wyvern's still pretty cool.
You get a lot of shots. I mean, it is 4d6 shots with a 48-inch range.
And yeah. You made a comment in the pre-show about the blast keyword. Is this a good time to bring it up with 4d6 and blast?
So you know, with the squad size, like, being reduced to, in many books, no higher than 10. How many functional 11-plus model units or builds do you see with armies on the table nowadays?
Totally agree with that statement. 9th edition has pushed again and again and again towards what we, I guess, for your words, Paul, filthy meta chase is deemed to be a meta based around small units, many small units, multiple small units, MSU. And the fact is the blast keyword was one of the reasons for that, for having, you know, getting order amount of shots versus things seemed like a really powerful thing to do at the start of this edition. But I can tell you, it does just not come up. It just does not come up.
So I don't know. There's, you know, there may not be a premium that may be to where, like in the mana core, I can see a cause for taking it because it's strength 9, neg 2, 3 damage apiece. I mean, is heavy 4d6, strength 5, neg 1 AP, what's it killing?
What's it hunting? What, termagants? Repentia that aren't in a rhino for some reason? Stuff like that. Stuff with no armor save.
Repentia is probably a real threat. That might be a real
cultists
threat. Yeah.
You know, peppering somebody's cultists on the holding their backfield to make them have to turn around, you know, relevant units, things like Kroot. There are a couple of things out there, but you're going to, you know, turn 2, turn 3, you're going to run out of good targets and start having to try and kill stuff with a 2 up in cover.
Poxwalkers?
I mean, they're pretty good against orc boys.
You know what? We actually did just kind of ignore the fact that orcs just won a major and have been kind of doing really well.
Well, see, the thing is, the blast keyword, and this is where I thought we were going with this. I feel like it's more of a detriment than a boon now, because the blast keyword is the thing that stops you from shooting into combat. I would much rather have 4d6 shots and be able to shoot into combat than have 4d6 shots that can't just shoot into combat and get a minimum of... minimum of 3 shots? They already get 4 shots when you've got 6 or more models. Like, it just seems like it's a downside now, not a boon.
Yeah, that's going to be something that people have to weigh. Well, see how it plays out. Let's talk about the Hydra. Hydra was something super popular, real popular for years.
Please tell me it doesn't have -1 to hit land targets anyway. Please tell me.
So, it has the Hydra quad autocannon, 72-inch range, heavy 8, strength 7, neg 2 AP, 2 damage apiece, turret weapon, which is cool. Each time an attack is made with this weapon against an aircraft unit, make 2 hit rolls instead of 1, and add 1 to both hit rolls.
Ho 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 ho.
Nice.
Maybe the most improved data sheet in this book. Seeing as the Rough Riders were not in the previous book. but 8 shots base, that goes to, if I'm reading this right, 16 shots versus aircraft. And yeah, it's a turret weapon, so it's innately +1 to hit all the time. That's the turret. The turret special rule is shooting out of combat and +1 to hit. So it's already +1 to hit, gets another +1 to hit against aircraft. So it hits on 4s usually, you know, 3s with the turret weapon bonus. -1 for aircraft, but +1. You're going to hit aircraft on 3s. You talk about the aircraft that are getting taken in the game at the moment, Sunshark Bombers. This thing annihilates Sunshark Bombers. It is amazing.
And it's not useless if you're shooting at stuff on the ground.
No, it's not. Yeah, exactly right. In addition, I will let you guys know there is 2 relevant stratagems here. One of them to, I believe it's shoot on death with with a vehicle. Yeah,
with a turret weapon. You basically is like some kind of final salute or something like that is what it's called. Right. The Grim Salute or something. Mm-hmm. The Vengeful Salute. I was so close.
And it also has an intercept option. So at the end of the reinforcement steps of your opponent's turn, you could intercept a plane with this. So if you bring, I'm of the opinion that one Hydra might be making most of my lists, as long as Harpies, Sunshark Bombers, stuff like that are around in people's competitive lists. Because I think
two Hydras, you coward.
Well, I think one is enough to make them shake in their boots. Two of them, and if I take two and don't play against planes, I might regret it. But one of them is just enough to mess with my opponent's head. Does he pay CP to put him in reserve? Does he keep him on the board and hope he goes first? I like it.
They are 110 points. The armor tracks is a 5-point upgrade. Does sound like kind of a bargain for 110 points. Can we talk about the super heavies now?
Yes, please.
Red, are you a little bit excited?
Yo, big tanks.
There are some cool, you know, combos and stuff you can do with them, and the crush them is still exist. You know, use the stratagem in the fight phase when a battle tank or super heavy model from your army is selected to fight until the end of the phase. Each time a model makes an attack against the enemy unit, excluding vehicle or monster units, you know, you can change its weapon skill to a 4+. So the model has the armored keyword. The weapon skill becomes 3+ instead. An unmodified wound roll of 6. The target suffers 1 mortal wound in addition to any normal damage. And all the Baneblades have 9 attack speeds.
Nice.
Yeah, all the super heavy chassis have the customary, you know, something where you get 9 attacks. And when you can change that hitting on 3s and doing some mortals, you're grinding some folks up. And that's just 1 CP.
Yeah.
So the super heavies go, you know, gone to 30 wounds. Well, most of them are 30 wounds. The Doomhammer is 29 wounds. Sorry, 28 wounds for some reason. Banehammer is also 28 wounds. I think maybe they gave those little snub nose barrels a couple less wounds.
Is it the ones with the transport capacities? So
yeah, I guess that must be it. Yeah, the Stormlord has 28 wounds also.
Yeah,
there we go. Yeah, you know, I've been talking about Stormlord a lot because yeah, it's still awesome. Heavy 20. The Vulcan Megabolter Heavy 20, Strength 6, -2 AP, 2 damage piece with the turret weapon. You can fire out of it.
I am a fan.
Yeah, so, you know, we're talking about making him an officer and then giving it some of the orders. And orders being, you know, things like full throttle until the end of your next movement phase. Add 2 to the movement characteristics of the model until the end of your next shooting phase when the unit is selected to shoot. If advanced during the previous movement phase, the unit is at the end of the phase counts as being having remained stationary. And then an order called Gunner's Kill on Sight until the end of your next shooting phase. Each time a model in this unit makes a ranged attack, reroll hit rolls a 1. So,
very nice.
Yeah, you got a 4+ ballistic skill. Go to a 3+ because it's a turret weapon, and then you reroll 1s. You know, that's incredibly reliable. Shadow Sword, I think that's the one that people, you know, have seen a lot on the tables probably in the recent years. The Volcano Kevin cannon is the Volcano Kevin. is a heavy D3+3, strength 18, -5 AP, damage 12. It's a blast, and then a turret weapon.
Damage.
Only damage 12, hey? Quaint.
So 2 hits, 2 wounds, dead Questorus Knight. Oh, they're 26 now. So they can have 2 wounds left. It's fine.
You're going to have last cannons on this thing. Come on, you got to get
well,
it.
Well, they come with 2 free now. It used to be you had to pay 100 damn points your last cannon twin heavy. Exactly. And now they got the first pair of sponsors for free. I'm a big fan.
I would just put all the las guns from all my little dudes into that knight to take off those last 2 wounds because that would just be hilarious.
And feel good
just
about it.
Yeah. Well, the thing is, you got born soldiers. The 6 is to hit, put the wounds on. And this is the 3 up. Like,
right?
Just pure disdain for your millennia-old venerable knight, sir. Take Lasgun. It's so funny.
The Lords of War here go from base points. They go from 390 to 430. So all kind of in that range. Banesword being the cheapest. Oh, sorry, 450. The Shadow Sword and the Hellhammer are 450 points.
Yeah, Banesword 390, and the Las Cannons are 20 points a pop for the sponsors. I think they're really well pointed. My only issue, as has been my issue with Baneblade chassis in all of 9th edition, is just the logistics of wielding them well on the tabletop. When we have so much terrain everywhere, it just seems like it's really awkward. But God, I want to use them so bad.
Yeah, I think they got to make it in. They got to get the orders, and you got to do some cool stuff.
You look at your players pack for your event. If you go into an event, just play a game with your mates, whatever. And if they don't have any Dawn of War deployment zones, you're just like, it's my time. it's time, Baneblade. Let's get in here. Let's do it. I can deploy you. I can use you. This isn't stupid. The fact is, I don't know if we've talked about the points yet, but you know how we always made the comparison that, like, you can slap two or three Lehman Russes together for the same point as a Baneblade, and they actually have more wounds, and back then they had the same toughness. Well, now the Baneblade has more toughness, has more wounds, but so we're talking, what, 450? Then you put the extra sponsors on. I got to tell you about the Rogal Dawn, ladies and gentlemen. Starts at 250 for the Rogal Dawn.
Rogal Dawn Battle Tank.
You could slap two of those bad boys together for 500, and that's a lot more tread on that tank.
17 wounds apiece on the Rogal Dawn Battle Tank.
Whew. So you got four T9, more wounds.
Toughness 9.
Exactly. It's four more wounds than the Baneblade chassis, six more than the transports. Arguably the same amount of gun or more, and they're so much easier to use on the table. So new tanks, mwah, chef's kiss.
I don't know if we talked about all the stuff they've got. I mean, they got a lot of guns on them. The Oppressor Cannon. I think this might have been up on the community article, but heavy D6 plus 3, strength 10, neg 3 AP, 4 damage apiece, blast, turret weapon, you know, or the Twin Battle Cannon.
Funny enough, I actually prefer the Twin Battle Cannon. The Oppressor is very good, but that Twin Battle Cannon is better than the regular Battle Cannon because it has one more rend on it.
Oh, neg 3?
It's rend 3, man, and that's the kicker. Then you have a tank ace to give it ignores cover, and that thing is a world ender. That thing is freaking brutality.
72 inches, right?
Yes.
Nice.
Range immaterial.
Irrelevant. Range is just a construct for lesser beings.
It does have that 2d6 shots, you know, instead of the Lehman Russ that has the d6 plus 3 or something.
That's true.
So it's a little... Might be streaky, but still, sometimes you go and roll 12, and 12 hitting on threes is a lot better than 12 hitting on fours.
You don't say. I'm a big fan of
it's prolific.
The Rogal Dawn. It is.
Because it's turret.
And then what? So you can have the heavy bolters, which you can replace with, is it the multi-melters or the plasma cannon? I can't remember which one it has. It doesn't have the full spread that you can put on the Lehman Russes.
The model may be equipped with one of the following: two multi-guns, two additional heavy stubbers. The model may be equipped with one of the following: two heavy bolters, two multi-melters.
So you can go the full melter package, which is cool, or you can just go the full DACA package. I think it's a really good tank. I can't wait to see what it's like in the flesh.
It looks like a big boy. Like, it probably goes together pretty easy. The new tracks, a lot less tedious than previous tracks.
Only hope.
One of the worst hobbying experiences of my life was the Baneblade tracks.
The single piece by single piece by single piece.
That all have really thick mold lines on both sides. It was just, I think I cut myself more on, and I've got four, by the way. I've got, one of them's 412, but I've got a lot of Baneblade, and I cut myself a lot doing those. I think that was the reason I went to a scraper from a knife, was exactly those treads.
Oh, there we go. Let's talk about some things that are not in the book, and let's pour one out for Yarik.
Weakness. Dang. Sorry.
Oh, yeah.
No. I take that back.
I know what you meant. Not Yarik. Yeah, Yarik. You know, maybe I think you called it right. I can't remember which show we were on. We're talking about it. Maybe he's going to be in an Orc Codex in the future.
That would be fun.
That would be hilarious. I wouldn't even be mad.
Is no Katachin command squad. There are no special weapon teams. No veteran guard squads.
No conscripts.
No conscripts.
They're scions?
There are. Yes, there definitely are scions. And they have their own little kind of carve out after the back of the unit entries.
You mind if we dig into that just real quick?
Oh, sure. I was trying to think of anything else that may be omissions from the book that people were
used to playing with. I mean, we still have heavy weapon teams, right? They just have now these additional heavy weapon platforms.
There's the field ordnance batteries and heavy weapon teams.
I feel like we need another name for it because heavy doesn't... Exactly. There's the heavy weapon teams and there's the chonky weapon teams.
Yeah, chonky.
The 0.5 extra heavy weapon team.
Yeah. I'm actually, in my mind, conceptually struggling to want to find a place for the field ordnance batteries because their weapon profiles and the footprint they'll take up on the table.
I have heard that their bases are gigantic.
Yeah, the 100 mils
or whatever. That's a lot of footprint that could be a Lehman Russ or... Yeah, because that's a Hellfron base, if I'm not mistaken, or a Redemptor base. Or is it being bigger than Redemptor?
It's the large round, for sure. I think it's on the Redemptor size base. And so Now, granted, what I haven't done is like gone through and tried to find all the slick combos of regimental doctrines and stratagems I would line up. And, you know, I haven't gotten to, I've been building an army list, like how I would build the previous guard list in my mind. So that is, you know, kind of framing my perception on these. But yeah, I think just how real estate gets end up, you know, done on the tabletop, I don't know if they're going to make it in the first cut. Of the list.
Fair. Yeah, that's fair.
But I know that some tanks kind of make it in. The Hydra, I have a couple of the old Forge World Hydras from back when, you know, you needed them back in the, like, was it 5th edition days before they got the plastic?
The leaf blower?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Love the Hydras. So I think that one of them's definitely going to be making an appearance for sure. So what else? What else is missing from the, I shouldn't say missing, you know, what else is not in this book that may have been played heavily before? That may be it.
Maybe vultures were imperial armor. Maybe
the vultures were imperial armor. Yeah, so were the vendettas. Sure, but the Valkyries, of course, are in here. There are some. The psychic powers have changed a little bit. The regimental preacher. I don't know if his abilities changed because I hadn't taken him in a long time. But but he's got a cool thing. You know, is at the start of your next command phase, I had one of the charge rolls for units on 3+. You get some stuff, and this is what you get extra charge. And then until your next command phase, models in the unit have a 6+ invulnerable save and cannot be affected by malediction psyche powers. And if they were under the effect of a malediction, it stops.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
That's really good. That's actually way better. I mean, I like to, I'm looking at one right now. I took him for the extra attack, which is nice. But yeah, that I think I'd take that, stopping a psychic power.
Well, yeah, malediction, whatever unit you give the righteous rhetoric to cannot be the target of a malediction, and they get a 6+ invulnerable save.
Cool.
On a 10-man squad. Okay. So, yeah. Scions.
Yeah.
Well, let me go back to the thing. So, the reason I brought up the fact that those other squads are kind of, you know, didn't make it in this new version or not in the current vision, it's very difficult to get, like, a bunch of special weapons in your army now, unless you take some of these other units, like Castrogan or Scions. The Cadians can get 2 melted guns in their shock troops. But a lot of the other squads, like Catechins, you only get flamers.
Huh.
Yeah, so then you get... If you're used to a whole bunch of special weapons, you might have to get creative or change it, which take.
You got to believe that's a concerted design choice, because that has been what guard was in most of, well, I know my primary guard list in 8th edition, for most of 8th edition, was just how many special weapons can I fit in the list?
Yeah, the multi-gun delivery platforms.
Exactly right. And everyone was just ablative wounds for the melter plasma delivery system. And so I guess that's a concerted effort by GW to redistribute some of the internal equity of the book, which I think is cool. I mean, yeah. And even the Scion has changed, the Scion units, because you used to be able to take a unit of 10 and then take 4 of any special weapon within 10, so 2 per 5. And now you can have 4 special weapons, but only 2 of any single special weapon.
Yeah, I'm looking at, I have 3 Scion command squads right now that I'm looking at with 4 Meltas each right now.
Yeah, yeah.
And then, I have 3 squads each with 2 Meltas. So you're telling me I can't do that anymore, huh?
Correct.
3 squads of 2 Meltas or 4 Meltas? Yeah,
2 Meltas each.
Oh, yeah, you can absolutely do that.
Yeah.
So you can never have 4 of anything.
But the command squads, what about that?
Command squads, you know, have the med pack, regimental standard, command rod, the master box, everything, you know, you would come to expect. Yeah, but here's what gets maybe a little bit different here for you. Anytime Tempest Assigns have their hot shot las gun replaced with one of the following, 1 flamer. Oh, any number can have 1 flamer, 1 grenade launcher, 1 hot shot volley gun, 1 melted gun, 1 plasma gun.
Oh, nice. So I'm still good.
But it does say you cannot select the same weapon more than once per unit.
Oh, never mind. Not good. There. It's okay. I'll find a way.
They have innate exploding sixes now. So just army wide, they just get exploding sixes all the time on every gun. And with born heroes, I'm of the opinion you don't need all the special weapons anymore, because you're going to be wounding on sixes to hit a lot of the time with just las guns. And AP2 is plenty for most jobs. And there's a bunch of stratagems to buff their rend, to buff their strength, let them do some splash mortals as well. I think hotshot las guns are perfectly acceptable now.
That's good to know.
Oh, the Taurox Prime. You get the points on that.
I kind of think the Taurox Prime stayed the same, if I remember right.
105 points, extra 5 points for Stormbolter, if you want to put it on there.
Yep. I think all their guns are virtually identical is what I was getting at.
Yeah, auto cannon, string 7, neg 1 AP, 2 damage.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, I look for, you know, when I'm going down the codex the first time, I'm like, oh man, you know, could I, is now finally the time to run 8 tower axes or something?
That's been a thing out there. I can't say I've seen it recently, but yeah, that's definitely a thing.
So one of the things I'm really excited to do is there is a, it's mobile infantry, I believe, is the regimental doctrine that lets you disembark after moving a model, moving a transport, you can disembark afterwards. And a Torox now moves 14 inches, and they're one of the units that has armored tracks by default as well, the Torox Prime. And so you can just turn one, go 14 inches, disembark 3 inches out of the Scions, the Scions 3 inches out of the Torox, they can't move again, and then you've just 17 inches right in somebody's face with all your hotshots. There is one CP stratagem for hotshot lasguns, which can be used, or hotshot weapons in general, because I think it does trigger on the volley gun as well, that can be used for Kassikan for Tempestus Scions, and it is any sixes to wound are a mortal wound, with a cap of 6, of course, it's 1 CP. But with Born Heroes, there's that caveat that sixes to hit count as a 6 to wound. So the chances of 10 guys dishing out the 6 mortal wounds is pretty high. And the mobile infantry regimental doctrine lets you get a bunch of extra distance. And then your scion, so your 6s to hit, auto wound, and explode, and do a mortal. It's really kind of a sweet combo to just take just some hotshot laser guns, go around and get around a corner, and start doing some pain early. And I'm here. I love to play guard. It's mobile infantry.
Like the sound of that. I guess let's talk about a couple of stratagems since we kind of danced around them. Because, again, there's depth in the book, which I like to see. It's gonna, again, I know we prefaced it, came out the gate saying it's going to be different because it will be different. But there's still a lot of, like, combos and things you can link up. And you know, like Tanya was saying, like, I think you're going to get some of that real thematic, cinematic-type Astromilitarum action that maybe is playing out in our heads. We talked about the Vengeful Salute. That is the thing. Use a stratagem in your opponent's shooting phase. Or the Vite phase, when the Astromilitarum model from your army is destroyed but did not explode, do not remove that model from play. It can shoot after the attacking model's units have finished making attacks. While doing so, that model can only make attacks with turret weapons it's equipped with, but it does have a Blizzard skill of 5+. So it gets a little bit worse. After resolving this model's attacks, it is then removed. If that model is the battle tank or armored superiority keyword, the stratagem costs 1 CP, otherwise it costs 2 CP. So like the Rogadorn or Lehman Russ, get this at a discount.
I like it.
There's the Vengeance of Cadia. Here's the one. Overlapping Fields of Fire. This is good. At least I think it's good. Use a stratagem in your shooting phase. When an enemy model is destroyed by an attack made by a platoon or squadron model from your army until the end of the phase, each time a friendly platoon or squadron model makes an attack against that destroyed model's unit, reroll wound rolls of 1. That's one bullet point. Next one is, on an unmodified wound roll of 6, improve the armor penetration characteristic of that attack by 1. Remember what we said, a lot of the tanks have the squadron keyword as well. So this is kind of like a weird way, a 2 CP doom.
Mm-hmm. It's a really good way of doing a little bit of chip damage, one of your big tanks, and then letting all the little guys contribute to trying to down something big. Like someone's got a unit of Scarab or Terminators that are a big problem for you in the middle of the table. Guard, apart from like, you know, popping off with something like a Rogaldorn, don't have a lot of ways of doing damage through one big dump. Sometimes you've got to chip away at those things, and this is your tool.
You can kind of bounce your warlord around with the field promotions.
Yeah, like if your warlord dies, you can pass on a warlord trait. Well, not pass on, you pick a new warlord trait, pick a new warlord. Like, I suppose Alpha Legion used to be like that as well. It's pretty cool.
Yep. So here's the Thunderous Charge. This is 1 CP. Use a stratagem in your charge phase. When an Ogryn or Attilan Rough Rider unit from your army finishes a charge, select one enemy unit with engagement range of that Ogryn or Attilan Rough Riders unit, and roll a d6 for each model in the Ogryn or Rough Rider unit with an engagement range. For each result that equals or exceeds the enemy unit's toughness characteristic, that enemy suffers 1 mortal wound.
Pretty cool. I was hoping there'd be something like this that would help Guard do some out-of-phase damage, you know, things like Abaddon, things like Catan, the phase cap stuff, Ghazghoul, etc. And when I first read this, I thought this might be it, and then I realized you had to roll over the toughness characteristic. So no, this is not it. This is just nice.
Well, you roll into a bunch of Marines or something. I mean, most of them are toughness 4.
It's a little bit awkward, though. So if you notice, it's every unit within engagement range of your unit. So if it's my unit of 10 Rough Riders, it's every one of those I can get in engagement range of the army. They're on cavalry bases. It's actually not always easy to maneuver them with an average charge to get a huge, to get all 10 in engagement range is actually going to be pretty hard a lot of the time. So you're going to know, you're going to really know when this is worth it. Like when I can get like eight of them in engagement range and it's like a 50-50 to do a mortal, 100% I'm slapping this bad boy down. But when I don't roll a big enough charge to get a lot of them in, you just keep it on the shelf. Use it for something else.
Save those CP in your pocket. Is that what you're saying?
Absolutely.
Let's talk about a couple of psychic powers. Psyche Barrier got taken a lot. It has changed. So Psyche Barrier has a warp charge value of 6. If manifests, it's like one friendly Astromilitarum unit within 12 inches of the Psyker until the start of your next psychic phase. Models in that unit have a 5+ invulnerable save.
Still very good.
Yes. Yeah, especially when you're given an invulnerable save, something you just never would have had it.
You know, never could have had it, yeah.
Night Shroud. Sorry,
it's funny it's 12 inches, though. Doesn't that seem kind of short?
You're
right.
You can move, you know?
I mean, it is pretty short. You are correct. That like if you're getting into the grips of things, that's a bit. That's your psychers in trouble next time.
Danger close. He's a
Yes. Okay, that's my only beef with that. I wish it was 18 inches, but okay.
Night Shroud has a warp charge value of 6. It manifests to select one friendly Astromilitarum unit within 12 inches of the psyker. You cannot select Titanic units unless the result of the psychic test was an unmodified 11+. So that's real hard to do. Until the start of your next psychic phase, each time an attack is made against that unit, an unmodified hit roll of 1-3 always fails, irrespective of anything that modifies it.
Sorry, what was the warp charge value?
6.
That's not bad.
Mental Shackles is another one. This is an 18-inch range. Warp charge value of 6. Target a unit, subtract 2 from the move characteristic of models in that unit, subtract 2 for the advance and charge rolls made for that unit. But you are pretty close if you come up with an 18.
I just noticed a little something. The Aegis Defense Line is listed as a fortification in this codex. I didn't notice that on first
reading. Yeah.
That's cool. It's only 40 points. Yeah, it's 40 points. It gives you the keywords defense line, light cover, heavy cover, defensible. And each time an attack is allocated to a model while it was receiving the benefits of cover from this terrain feature, worsen the AP of that attack by 1. So it actually gives Armor of Contempt like buff in addition to light cover, heavy cover, and defensible for 40 points. I'm a fan. Just straight up. I think that's freaking awesome.
I mean, it's gonna be tough building that first list because like the first list, you list everything you want. You find out you're like 500 points over.
I need to know a few things about this though. Is this 40 points for one link or for the whole defense line?
No, it's the whole kit.
It's got to be, right?
Yeah.
And how do I deploy it? Can I deploy it like, do they all pieces have to be touching? Can they be inch gaps between them like you had on you previously in like 6th and 7th edition? You could deploy it pretty much in whatever.
You could not put inch gaps between them.
As long as more than 2 pieces were touching each other, you used to be able to leave gaps.
I don't know. Back in the day. Maybe that must have been an Australian rule.
Maybe it was. Yeah. Maybe I'm remembering wrong. Yeah, I remember as long as multiple links were touching each other, you used to be able to leave like inch gaps to get tanks and stuff through.
No, that was not a thing.
Fair enough. All right. Never mind. Delete that whole section. But
I don't know how it was played in your area.
Yeah, do I have to deploy it in a straight line? Can I make a squiggle out of it, you know? Need some context on this one, because 40 points for what that gives is really significant for Guard.
That's something to think about. Again, we got a whole bunch of choices to make. I am excited. I know we talked about, a little bit about what's not here, but that's more just to prep people for, starting to plan on how to actually get their force on the table. And look, we're out of time. I mean, and there's a lot of stuff we did not talk about yet, and especially like list design. Yeah, and I think we should. We're gonna come with some list and stuff for next episode.
I'm ready. My soul. We didn't even talk about Kassakan, which I think is my favorite and possibly the best or second best unit in the book. So, oof.
Well, there you go. Put that in the next episode.
Please don't buy them all. I need some.
Need a couple.
30 is what I need.
30.
Well, they're in elite slot, so you can only take 30 of them.
Well, actually, let's hear it. I mean, well, look, we're going overtime in OT.
Okay. So essentially, it's the same package as a Tempest Scion, without the exploding sixes. But in exchange for not getting the exploding sixes, you get to have an extra regimental doctrine on top of whatever else you picked in your army. So you get to customize these guys. One thing I do not know, so it reads out as Warrior Elite. When you add this unit to your army, you can select one doctrine from page 6061 that no other unit in your army has. This doctrine is in addition to any others it has. So if I take 3 units, that means I have to have 3 different, right? Because they can't take the same ones. But that means I can have Kassakan units built for purpose. You hear me say this all the freaking time, guys. I love being able to build, especially guard units, for a purpose because essentially they're cheap and I want it to be really good at one thing and then trust myself as a general to get the most out of them.
You mean like Scion squads that have four meltas?
Sorry.
Yeah, sorry. They can have two per five, like Scions, yeah? They can't have...
He said his fit for purpose Scions used to have four meltas, and I agree.
That's fair. That is fair. But like I said, most of the time, I think I'm not sure I'm taking special weapons that much. It might be hotshot volleys for me now, and regular hotshots, because I just love... Keep them cheap and cheerful.
Yeah, just go with volume of fire and then a little bit of like spice from one of these regimental doctrines.
From what I remember, I think a Cassican runs you, was it 10 or 11 points?
I can tell you.
Just quickly checking now. Sorry, I've forgotten one big thing. Let me check if it's the same for Scions as well. Okay, so the only upgrade that a Tempestus Scion unit pays for is a Power Fist, Red.
Oh, snap.
All your special weapons are free, my man. And I think Cassican are the same.
Wow, that's huge.
It is huge.
You got to pay for the plasma pistol.
Oh, okay. As long as I got to pay for a plasma pistol, this unit is fair and balanced.
11 points per model on the Scions, 10 points per model on the Cassican. Well, you have to take a unit of 10 Cassican. They come in a unit of 10, but it's 100 points for the package. And yeah, the only upgrades you pay for is a power sword and a plasma pistol. So who never heard any of that? Take whatever you want.
Awesome.
All right, well, I'm glad we spent the extra time. That's pretty cool.
Oh, man, I wish all those Kill Team box sets didn't sell out immediately. getting some FOMO.
Well, that is our show this week. I hope everybody's excited about it as we are. It's, you know, again, the ecosystem is like fully thriving out there, and this will definitely make an impact. There are lots of Astra Militarum players that are probably just been waiting in the wings to get this stuff on the table. And we even know there's been a few of them that have been out there holding it down this entire time, and they're going to get some upgrades right out the gate. Yeah, I'm pumped. Well, folks, please like, share, subscribe. Do not forget to leave some 5-star reviews if you haven't already. It means a whole lot. Consider getting a t-shirt. That would be cool. They are up in the show notes for the link. And other than that, we'll see you all next week.
Getting a FTN t-shirt is the only way to guarantee other people will know you are cool. It's a fact.
Gives you a 5+ save.
Yeah.
See everybody.
Bye, everybody.
I don't know what they said, but I already subscribed. You better do it too.